The move, is there a second?
Second.
The move is second, the discussion on the minutes, discussion, discussion, all those in favor say aye. Aye, opposed, no, the ayes have it, the minutes are approved. There are three information items we have this morning. Mr. Tanglevini?
Thank you, Chairman Graham, and thank you, members of the board. I want to start by first expressing the sympathies of the Metro family to all of our friends in Fairfax, one of our participating jurisdictions, for what happened there last week. We have already expressed our interest in sharing whatever we can in the way of assistance to Fairfax in recognizing the tragedy that they suffered. I also would like to call attention to the board of something that happened at 4:37 a.m. this morning. One of our bus operators hit a pedestrian on Route 210 in Charles County, Maryland. We've provided the board and others with information about the accident, and we're investigating the accident. With that, I'm actually going to turn it over to Mr. Hughes. Okay, to talk about passenger fares and parking fees for holidays and service changes, information item 2A.
Good morning, everyone. This is an information item, and the action is we're proposing to be taken next month at the regular budget meeting as we go through our FY07 budget. We had a hearing on two specific service-related items. First one was raising fares and parking fees on the four major holidays as we increase the service levels to a regular weekday. The second element in there was the elimination of selected bus services to support reinvestment of those resources into other bus services where we're experiencing overcrowding. We had three hearings in the month of April, one in each of the jurisdictions. 75 people attended those three hearings, 34 people testified, and 118 people also sent emails in terms of response from the public. There was also a discussion at the RAC, both the Rail and Bus Subcommittee and also at the full committee, and they had passed a resolution in support of keeping the M2 and the D6 late-night service. As we go through all the hearing comments that we heard, we are investigating a number of changes to what we had originally proposed. They specifically include W-9 service, where we were eliminating service to Boiling Air Force Base, and we're working on rerouting some other services in there. The M2 that I mentioned from the RAC discussion is in the district that serves Fairfax Village and Naylor Road. We're trying to see if there's an alternative route or a way that we can save that route. The 4-H service in Arlington, where we recommended to eliminate it on Saturday, we're trying to look again whether or not we can reroute something or keep it. The X6 is a service in the district to the Arboretum. We've actually contacted the Friends of the Arboretum to see if they'll help. If not, we're looking at rerouting another route into that service. And the last one is the D6 late night. As we make these changes to what we presented, and as we keep some service or not have as much of a reduction, what we will also bring back to the board is to keep the package that we gave to you whole. There was a reduction of bus cuts of $2.4 million, an addition of $2.4 million, and try to balance it. We also have in next year's budget $1.5 million to respond to overcrowding. So we're going to bundle them all together and come back with a package that matches the budget that we gave you. And we're working on that now. That detail will be presented to the budget committee. As I said, this is only an information item.
Is there questions or discussion on this matter? Hearing none, we can proceed to the next issue.
Thank you very much. I'll ask Mr. Woodruff and Mr. Harcum to present the next item, which is the Metro Matters year-end financial report.
Good morning. This is also an information item. This is the first in a series of reports we're going to be bringing you regarding the capital program, the Metro Matters program. This is a look back at how fiscal 05 closed out. After June 30th, we'll be able to bring you a report on how 06 closed out, and at the end of the first quarter this coming year, we're going to bring you a complete update of the entire program. But just putting a fence around fiscal 05 and comparing budget to actual, the summary page one here indicates that total program was envisioned to be $350.7 million. I'm kind of starting at the bottom and working up. That included a $9 million assumption for a security program that has to date not yet been funded, so no action was taken on that part of the program during fiscal 05. The middle section of this represents the expenditure-based part of the 05 budget, and this was that kind of half-pregnant year where it was part obligation-based and part expenditure-based, so we have to separate these two things. In the expenditure-based part of the program, $51 million was anticipated to be expended. To date, $28.9 has been expended. All of those projects and programs are anticipated to fully need the amounts that were originally budgeted, and we're recommending a cash flow adjustment here where the budgets are simply right-shifted in time. Those programs will use the funds that were originally intended for them. The very top line is the infrastructure renewal program, which was the old obligation style of budgeting. It was originally set up at $290 million at the end of the year. $251 million in funding had either been expended or obligated or committed, leaving an unused balance of $38.9 million. At the back end of the presentation, we have a project by project by project by project listing of which projects didn't fully utilize all of the funding that was set up for them. Between now and the end of the first quarter, we're going to be going through each one of those projects, trying to determine if there is a continuing need for those funds or if those funds truly can be opened up for complete reprogramming. At the June meeting, staff is going to come forth with an item for your consideration to help us with a policy directive. On the operating side, there is a board policy about what to do with year-end operating surpluses. It becomes a fairly mechanical process. Some people call it the audit adjustment. It's a process we go through the year-end. That amount of money is identified as surplus, and if we follow the normal process, that money is refunded to the local governments. On the capital side, we have kind of a gap in the policy. There is no controlling policy about what to do with unused capital funds at the end of the year. So we're going to come back with a suggestion for your consideration that's going to hopefully have a prioritization process. So if we have new projects that are coming along, we would want to rank them for you and say, these are the highest needs, these are the second needs, and put it out for your consideration. So that's what would come at the June meeting.
Well, let me ask you this before you proceed any further, because this is a very important point. Number one, of the $38.9 million, how much of that is federal and how much of that is from the jurisdictions, and what is the jurisdictional breakdown?
Let me start at the total. Total program of $290 million.
Start at the 38.9.
Okay.
Please stay with my question.
I'm sorry. Okay. $38.9 million. $4.9 million of that is district money, $4.8 million is Maryland money, $3.6 million is Virginia money, the rest is federal slash other interest earnings, those kind of things.
Okay. So the second question I would ask at the outset is, this is what you term uncommitted capital funds. Now, how could it be that we have uncommitted capital funds to the tune of, well, $39 million at this point in time in our, and I assume that the 4.9 and the 4.8 and the 3.6, which totals over $13 million, I assume that money is in the bank. These are real dollars.
Yes, sir.
In the bank.
Yes, sir.
At Metro, which means that they're not in the bank for any of our jurisdictions.
Yes, sir.
Because they've been transferred to you. How could we have uncommitted funds to this extent?
What we have, two definitions of commitment. Commitment, as I use it, is meaning an action in our procurement system. There's a contract in place. It's a technical legal definition. At a programmatic level, the money is committed, and that's what the detailed spreadsheet at the back of this thing shows. We can identify project by project by project by project how all of that $38 million is committed or lined up with individual projects. The money can go unused for two general reasons. Project could come in under budget at year end. The cost was less than what was assumed in the budget. We're working on defining which of those meet that criteria. The other issue is the budget scheduling and assumptions that were built into Metro Matters were very aggressive, and it's possible we just overestimated in the budget what we could actually accomplish in this first year. And that's what we're going through project by project and hope to report back to you.
Give me some idea of what is the programmatic commitments for the $38.9 million.
If you turn to the last,
page five to six.
Second to last page in the package.
Second to last page.
Five five and six.
Yes.
You can see with some bolded headings on the left where we're identifying rolling stock, passenger facilities, maintenance facilities. The column on the right is what adds up to the $38 million.
Okay. And these are all approved, board-approved programs?
Yes, sir.
So in point of fact, then why are you referring, I've got to ask this additional question, then why are you referring to the policy on distribution insofar as operations surpluses?
I was just highlighting that on the operating side of the budget, there is a board-approved policy for what to do, what staff should do at the end of the year if there is a budget surplus. On the capital side of the budget, there is no board policy that directs us what to do.
But this isn't, is this a surplus?
It could be. That's what I said we're investigating. If...
But how could it be if on page 5 and 6 you have an itemized breakdown of each and every dollar that this is, quote, committed to? How does a surplus issue even arise?
If the commitments are not needed, if the project has closed out and come in under budget, there was funding established that is not needed by that project.
And that may or may not be the case in all these instances. What we're saying is we're going through this process. We're letting the board know what we're finding as we go forward, because one of the biggest complaints is that, Metro staff hides money and then finds it when they have a priority they need to move forward. We're showing you where projects are under contract, where we think there may be balances available. And what we'll do is come back in June and give you a complete scrub of how this relates to our going forward program and where there may or may not be funds available for reprogramming or redistribution.
Well, I want to hear from other members of the committee, but I'm going to say that at a minimum, this is a confusing presentation of this issue. I was briefed yesterday on this matter, and I mean, either if you have a commitment, you say you have a commitment, you don't suggest there's a surplus. Who else wants to speak to this? Mr. Linton, and then did I hear Mr. C. Mr. Paul?
I think I'm concerned about the terminology and how we define the funds that we have available. It sounds to me that you want to, in the process of reviewing the Metro Matters funding program and projects related to it, there may have been some projects where, in fact, they've come in under budget, but there are also still some ongoing projects that have not been completed yet. I don't know if this is a surplus. I think what I would interpret this to mean is that, in a sense, you're trying to make sure that you're above board and with the board, letting them know where dollars are, not to suggest those dollars are not going to be consumed by existing programs,
right.
But you want to be kind of truth and lending. Mm-hmm. Here's what we have.
Absolutely.
I don't want to make sure that you don't want you to think that we have secret dollars kind of tucked away.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I think it would be inappropriate for us to sort of take this as surplus, which means that there's money that can go back, take away from the program that can be used for other things. But there is program spending and consideration the project, as you have indicated on the document in front of us. So I think we need to be very careful. I think it's good to know where the dollars are, but I think it would be preemptive on our part to go in now and start saying that we have money that can be reallocated somewhere else.
You're absolutely right. And for that reason, that's why we present this as an information item. We're not anticipating anyone take any action today, just for that very reason.
So I got it.
Okay.
But I think the way it was presented and the terminologies of surplus and
agreed.
Things like that creates confusion. And we need to be very careful about how we use language. I'm not always the best person doing that myself.
Yeah, I think, and I was just asking where, in fact, we used the word in the presentation, surplus. And while we never said it, what we did say was on page 2 that $38.9 million of funding is available for board reprogramming, when, in fact, some of that reprogramming may just be simply reiteration of the priorities established by the board.
Mr. Kaufman.
Recognizing that this will be a two-step process, that, as I heard it, you'll be coming back in June to clarify what might in fact be available, as we look at not only what's available, but how that might be wisely invested. As my colleagues, Mr. Graham and Mr. Smith, know, we have been spending a fair amount of time looking at correcting some of our challenges in paratransit, and would also like to be sure that the budget side of our house is in communication with the operations side, make certain that as we identify not only areas where we could reallocate dollars to make our paratransit service better, but if there are areas where through a direct or a phased basis we can make the paratransit more responsive, we need to begin queuing that up.
Also, as Mr. Woodruff and Mr. Harkham mentioned, in June we'll be coming back with a similar and I hope less confusing presentation of the FY06 capital budget that lets you know where that stands. So these two will come together, and hopefully we'll have some better information to share with you and an action item at that point.
Yes, we'll have an action item, and I certainly don't want the board to be confused by this. This is indeed intended to show you data as we become aware of it. And admittedly, this isn't the big picture, but we do have a solid vision here, and we do have discipline to the process. You have a capital program that was conceived, numbers were built about 3 years ago. It has not been updated. It's a huge capital program. It hasn't been fine-tuned. It hasn't been adjusted. So, yes, there is some catch-up to do because there was a period of time that it was not updated, and this is the beginnings of it. So as we've all said, this is the first picture. We're going to come back to you in June with some recommendations. We're going to close out the 06 year, and by October we should have the entire capital program, every single project, scrubbed down. And the term reprogramming, that's my term. To me, reprogramming is if the money wasn't spent in 05, even though it may be needed in the same project, the board needs to reprogram or reauthorize that expenditure. So if that term was confusing, I apologize for that. We've got a vision. We've got a plan in place. We'll come to you every quarter with the capital budget as we are on the operating budget. We'll give you a complete update on revenues, costs, overruns, savings. So going down the road every quarter, you're going to see the complete picture. So there is a little catch-up here, and we have a vision for this. We're going to get you there soon.
Well, I think
are there any timelines tied to the appropriations for those dollars in terms of obligation from the jurisdictions?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I think we've got any officials.
You get the money in the capital program at the beginning of the fiscal year from the district commissioner,
right.
Don't you?
On the federal side, we apply for grants, and then there's a three-year period where those monies have to be encumbered and set up to be used, and we're monitoring all the grants, working with the FDA to close out the old grants as fast as possible.
What is the amount of the District of Columbia's capital contribution to Metro Ramada in a single year?
In fiscal 05, it was $36.5 million.
And for this year?
One moment. $51.9 million.
That's the number I was remembering. And so you have received from the District of Columbia $51.9 million?
That would be for the year about to begin, fiscal 07. For the current fiscal year, it's $48.4 million, and yes, we have received.
Okay, let's use the 48.4 then. But you have received the $48.4 million from the District of Columbia. I know this is quite a hit. It's the second largest capital expenditure, as I remember. It might be third. District government makes, and to a single source. And so, you know, obviously we have to be very concerned when we're advised that about $5 million of that has not even been the subject of procurement in a fiscal year which has but 1 month remaining. And so it's a little bit different than where I started, because I wasn't sure that there was. Pardon me?
Fiscal year going by. It's not even a federal month for me.
Is this?
This is
05. That's right. So for 05, I beg
your
pardon.
That was last year.
So we're going to get the 06 year today.
In June.
In June.
After June 30th, '06 will close out.
Okay. I stand corrected. Yes, go ahead, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just thank Mr. Tangarini and staff for moving this forward, actually, because obviously, as we just noted with your comment, the real difficulty here is the fact that we're just getting to the 05 year at this point, and the fact that we're going to have 06 reconciled by October prospectively, I think, is a good thing. And finally, we're maybe opening some closets here that in prior regimes that they've walled off and not understood. And I think this is good news that we're able to investigate and find this out. Because as you're alluding to with the district money, an even bigger issue relative to this money is voices that might be poised to say, well, if you haven't been able to spend $22 million in capital funding here, why would you possibly need another $150 million in capital and dedicated funding to fund this system? And I think we have to be able to answer that and have to be able to lay out a clear program on which that additional $150 million a year in dedicated funding, which of course your jurisdiction has already approved money for, and demonstrate that in fact it is needed. And these kind of numbers we've got to reconcile and move forward so that we have a cash process going through, that we're not leaving money on the table. Thank you.
Well, I think when are we going to get the year to date for the Metro Matters program for FY06?
In October.
And you have no numbers available to you at this point of what we have spent?
Yeah, we can give you year to date. We can bring you something in June. We can't give you the closeout of it.
No, obviously not.
We can tell you preliminary
numbers. But I think that what I want to inquire into is what the status is of spending for this fiscal year.
Sure. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. But I think what we're looking to examine here is that the overall amount of money that's needed may in fact still be the same. The question is the spend rate.
Mm-hmm.
Is the spend rate
yes.
Such that the yearly allocation may not be as significant as we've been provided? And this kind of analysis will hopefully give us a sense of the spend rate that's occurring, and that will give us a useful tool.
And as we go through this, we are looking at the cash flow on all these projects or the spend rate. So that we can update that. If it changed, we need to reflect the change.
Then there's also the other side, which is the procurement side and how we procure this. And we need to have a consistent going forward set of rolling procurements that address the consistent going forward needs of the authority. And last week, the board moved out of committee the proposal to buy 100 buses every year for the next 5 years for the first time, a continuous ongoing replacement cycle that matches up the capital that we expend. We're talking about doing the same on the rail cars. It's that kind of consistent going forward type of procurement rather than these big lumpy one-time investments that frankly are going to make our projections much tighter with our actual expenditures. So that's a ongoing process that will, I think, create a much more consistent, straightforward, and one-level honest form of budgeting.
Is there further discussion? Further discussion. So we do understand now that this language available for board reprogramming is doesn't mean available for board reprogramming. It means something else. Or you
it
want
doesn't mean
language?
Surplus.
It doesn't mean surplus.
Right. I mean, the board could at any time reprogram that funds away from the board-approved projects, but I think you're right. To assume that would happen is unlikely.
Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Mack.
I'd just like to make a comment. I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm getting in on the tail end of this, but I think this is the type of reporting that I've been asking for a very long time, so that we are keeping track of what we're spending in accordance with what we planned and not waiting until we have a way to spend it to say that it's available. And I want to applaud you for doing that, because we've been asking for this for a very long time. So I thank you.
Okay, further discussion on this matter? Further discussion? Very good. We'll look forward to the Can we have the report in June? I would like the report in June to have as an attachment this report. So that we can see the both items, and then we can get a better understanding of precisely what is going on here. Okay, and that would include a year-to-date spending picture.
Yes, sir.
For FY06.
Uh-huh.
All right, then the next matter is the FY06 operating third quarter budget.
Okay, this is a pretty long report. There's a lot of information in here. We've tried to structure it again, so if you take the executive summary and rip it out and walk away with that, I think that's got the most important points here. Pop that up on the screen. At mid-year, when we brought you the six-month results, we had a laserless. Looking at the middle of the chart here, at mid-year we had a year-to-date subsidy underrun of $5.6 million with a projection that that would grow to $12 million by June 30th. Now 3 months later, we're up to $10.9 million on a year-to-date basis with a projection of that year-end underrun growing to $13 million. The subsidy underrun is being driven entirely by higher-than-budgeted revenues. Up at the top of the page, I make mention of how fast ridership is growing, way in excess of what the budget assumed when we built it a year ago. We believe we have factored all of that ridership growth into the 07 budget. We think we've trued up the 07 revenue estimates. The costs continue to run over budget. The single biggest driver of that is, of course, diesel fuel. On a variance basis, it's only 2% of the budget. At the bottom of the page, we make mention of diesel fuel continuing to be a risk area of the budget. An emerging risk area that we're watching closely are energy prices, primarily propulsion power for the train system. In Maryland, we know that rate caps are going to be coming off, and PEPCO will be issuing higher rates. We're watching to see what that's going to do. Labor costs, we're looking at overtime. There's some narrative in this report about it, overtime. We also have an internal kind of cross-departmental team that's been put together reporting directly to the interim general manager with suggestions to further control and reduce overtime costs. And at the bottom of page two is a mention of risk reserve, which I've talked about a couple of different times. And the next item in your agenda is an action item that will also talk about the risk reserve. The reserve fund is nearing zero. It's debatable whether it'll be zero by year end or not. There's a couple of different models out there, but the reserve fund is running out of money. When the reserve fund runs out of money, we obviously won't stop paying claims. We have an obligation to pay the claims, but all of those claims costs will become immediate period results. So they'll start showing up as unbudgeted expenditures very soon into the new fiscal year. I can't tell you exactly whether it happens, you know, halfway through June or halfway through July, but I'm just reminding everyone that that reserve fund is running out of money. And I'll leave it for there right now because the very next item on the agenda is the action item. And it was, again, just an option. And I purposely put that word on there. It is a board option on what to do with the current and projected year-end operating budget surplus. Can I take any questions?
Discussion or questions?
Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Kaufman.
Just, you know, again, reiterating what I said before about keeping in mind our the potential need for paratransit. The second item is the in looking at what it takes to run our buses, what it takes to run our trains. You know, the latest rumors I've heard is after folks finish gouging us for the summer, that some bus fuel rates might flatten out. I don't know, but we certainly already given the general manager the flexibility to make the call when he feels it's necessary on locking in. Just to help me understand on the electricity cost, I know that from what I've read, the average Dick and Jane homeowner looking at something like order of magnitude 70% increase since we're such a large volume buyer. You know, while it may be an increase, while it will be an increase, it may not be to that range, but certainly a significant increase. Is there any early feeling on that?
Well, I've seen the same numbers you have, Mr. Kaufman, 70-72%. If we were hit that hard, that would be an impact of about $6 million on our electric account. So I don't have any more information, whether it's 30 or 20 or where it may come in. But if it comes in that high, worst case, that's what we're looking at. If I could talk to the diesel fuel, we did swap 1 million gallons of diesel fuel yesterday at a rate of 238. We did that in the morning about 10 o'clock. By 3 o'clock, it had gone to 243. And to be perfectly honest, not having the crystal ball, we are simply looking at cost averaging on the diesel. So if we see what we think is a real dip in price, we'll go heavy. We'll go 3 or 4 or 5 million. You know, just we'll make a decision and move quickly. We are moving on it. That one action, however, at 238 and just slightly above that, that cost us $390,000 above the budget on 1 million gallons. So had we swapped the whole thing, 5.2 million above budget, hopefully it's not going to be to that magnitude. But there are a number of risks out there in 07, clearly.
Well, there is. We have been looking very closely at the way the seasonal trends on pricing go, and it suggests for us that we do see a period of increasing pricing through the summer and then some flattening out. One can always hope for a little bit of a retreat at the end of the summer as well. Again, though, we don't know what the hurricane season looks like. And as I've said before, if I were really good at this, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on my own private island. On the electricity rates, you have to be careful looking at what's being discussed for consumer rates, because there's a balance between transmission costs and the actual generation costs. And our cost structure is a little different than that. Some of that is just a recovery of stranded costs or prior investments. And since we get to, one of our benefits is we get to go across three jurisdictions. One of our problems is we get to go across three jurisdictions. And so that there isn't any single rate that we can point to that we get to or frankly have to pay. So with that, I think we just wanted to call it out as an issue. We are working very closely to try to mitigate the risk. I instructed staff at the lowest point of decision, where they think it's in the best interest of the authority to make an action, to take it and then tell me about it later, rather than seek approval of everyone. And I think the swap reflected that kind of leaning forward efforts on the part of staff.
Thank you. Mr. Linton?
Yeah, this is the kind of situation where we have a 2-year budget process would probably give us some assistance. Because I think we have some issues here that unknowns at this point, in which we have some vulnerability. I'm very concerned about what we have issues with that. One concern I have is how much additional spending that we talked about going to the next semester, and not knowing at the end of the day what our exposure is.
Further discussion? Then let's proceed to the next item, which is the actual recommendations on the FY06 operating budget.
If I could, let me just spend a brief moment explaining what the items are. And I tried to be very careful in word usage, and I've identified items A through E as staff recommendations, but this is a board option. The board could choose to do all of these, some of these, or none of these. This is just our recommendation to you. Item A is $500,000 that we would recommend be set aside to fund a Metrobus passenger survey. This is one of the things that was identified in the JCC report. We have not done a bus passenger survey in many years. Follow on to this, we would propose a rail passenger survey, but that would be part of the FY08 budget.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Kaufman?
If we could find out what page we're on.
There's only one page.
It's a separate item. Item
3A.
Okay.
The 2-pager.
Thank you.
The second $500,000 would be to the extent the final approved budget does have some changes in fares, because we would run regular weekday service on the 4 holidays and charge regular weekday fares. There would be a need to spend some money to update fare tables and signs and that kind of thing. The third item, number C, is in keeping with the current board policy on maintaining a 1% operating budget reserve. As the budget grows from year to year, there's an incremental change required in that reserve, and that would be a $700,000 set aside. Item D is a recommendation to set aside $10 million into the workers' comp third-party claims reserve. The claims continue to happen. We heard there was another accident this morning. Those claims payouts will continue. We believe this is a serious risk area. And additional to that, we would want to have a discussion with you about what an appropriate reserve balance should be to get it back to a steady state kind of situation. So the previous information item identified a $13 million surplus. Probably should stop using that word. Subsidy underrun. These five actions would set aside $11.7 million of that, leaving $1.3 million for year-end results.
Well, I think in this particular case, the word surplus applies. because these are dollars for which there is no need for any procurement, because there is no commitment, there's no decision relating to it. I mean, this is a genuine bona fide surplus. So I think you can proceed with impunity in that regard. But I do have one immediate question. What is the current cash in the bank status of the overall operating reserve? How much money do we have?
$10 million.
In cash, mm-hmm. in the bank, mm-hmm. as an operating reserve. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is the current cash on hand, cash deposited status of the risk reserve fund, which is for workers' compensation and third-party accident fund?
I learned last night when I got back to the office, it's down to $6 million.
And where did we start the year? What amount did we start the year with?
20.
20. So we have spent $14 million in either workman's comp claims or third-party accident claims. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Self-insured.
Mario?
Yes, correct. Self-insured up to $5 million.
Mr. Chair, this is an important item, and I would like to think that the board in this committee would like to have a little bit more detailed information and analysis in terms of what's driving this. As these are numbers, this is a line item that has a tendency to just continue to get out of whack. Not only our policy, but we need to take a look at what else can we be doing to control workman's comp claims, third-party claims, everything else, because I can tell you that there's one area that can just completely bankrupt you. It's this one.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, I thank the mayor for his comments, and I agree that it needs some more in-depth analysis. And in fact, we know that the surplus, as it's titled here, in reality is money that is not available to us until we get to approximately next May. If any of the jurisdictions wanted the money back, as it were, you can't get it till next May, until after the audit is completed next year and everything's closed out. So with that in mind, I would hope that any action in dealing with accounting the surplus at this point or attributing it, that we would delay at least until January, to the point at which we had a firm handle on what the final number was and an expectation based on the audit moving forward of what kind of dollars we're really dealing with. And hopefully in that interim, we'll be able to deal with the mayor's concerns in terms of evaluating at more length what our problems and risks are. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mrs. Mayor.
I wanted to talk about individual pieces of this request. On the $700,000 that would maintain the reserve at 1%, I believe that's board policy, so that doesn't really belong here in this list. We've already authorized you to, with any surpluses, maintain the reserve at 1%. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't belong there. On the passenger survey, that is an item that needs to move forward. And whatever we need to do to have that move forward, we should do immediately, because we have not done a survey for what? How many years?
Since 02.
Right. And many of our decisions are driven by the result of that survey. So I want to hold that one out for a minute. And the on the rest of it, I would support the notion that it's advanced by Mr. Smith. I think that since this money will not be available until next spring, and at that time we will know a great deal about fiscal 07 and some of the challenges that we are facing in 07, if we simply don't act on this at this time, it gives us an opportunity to know a little bit more about what's going on when we act, including the point that was raised by Mayor Yule.
Mr. Linton?
I agree with everything that was stated by the speakers. The one thing that I want to elaborate a little bit on Mayor Yule's comment, this whole area of workers' comp, that I'd really like to see what our run rate has been over the last couple of years. I know at one point there was some discussion about some proactive things that we said we were doing to try to get a handle on. Like to find out if there have been, one, have those strategies been applied, what has been the outcome, has there been a reduction of the rate or is the rate continuing to increase from year to year, and two, kind of best practices, examine what others have done, but this has been an issue that I know Scepter faced when I was on the board, a lot of transportation faced, what have people done to try to address this, but quite frankly, there seems to be some proactive things that we may be doing programmatically to get a handle on this, and not just allocating additional money to spend it. How do we cut this so that it doesn't keep growing?
Well, I would like
I would think a separate kind of discussion on this, Mr. Chair, that may be appropriate.
I would like to comment that this is one of the areas I've been zeroing in with, working with our CFO, with our head of safety, Mr. Gadeen, operations and personnel. I think that there is an opportunity for us to do better here. And I think part of it is the way we structure it and the way we approach the issues and even some of the internal bureaucratic obstacles we've placed on ourselves in really having the best possible program. I've also been working with our general counsel about exploring an analysis of the strategies we've employed in defending the authority to make sure that we are employing the best strategies and ensuring that we're learning from each case and getting a better strategy for the next one and defending the authority in these cases as we've seen some settlements begin to increase.
And I would ask continuing that we kind of examine what other authorities or others have done in terms of their legal challenges to this and how they've fared with winning, losing, rates of, you know, expenditures and those kinds of things. I think it would be helpful to kind of look and see. That's the only way we can kind of compare whether we're doing a good job. I mean, I know courts in different jurisdictions are a little different, but I think we need to get a sense of that as well.
I wanted to address the issue on the expenditures and the trends. On item 2C on page 11 is a chart, albeit kind of small, at the bottom of the page. And what that chart tells you is that the worker comp expenditures are running rather consistent. It's the third-party liability that are very unpredictable, and when they occur, the amount of the settlements, et cetera, unpredictable. We have had our actuary, and we have a gentleman.
What page
is it? I'm on item 2C, page 11.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Right. Can we have that on the screen? Is that?
Yeah.
I just want to reassure the board, we've looked at the numbers, we've had the actuary look at the numbers again. The flexible part is when we settle some of these claims as to when some of these expenditures hit. So I'm pretty confident on the numbers, but I think the point is well taken as to what we're doing to make sure we're best managing the entire process.
Okay. For the discussion, I think that, is there a motion on that?
I'd be happy to move. I just have just two quick points. C, the contingent. If I read this correct, it sounds as if we spent some of our operating reserve. And I'm just wondering
No, no. As the budget goes up from year to year, the balance in the reserve should mirror that. And to Mrs. Mack's point, there's an existing policy on that, and I probably shouldn't even have this on here.
Yeah.
The second, as we look at this, the general manager looks at the workers' comp. I know in years past, this may be one of those cases where we've taken some action, but that action may have been lost. We were employing temporarily disabled employees to do things like working in our parking lots. Yeah, are we still doing that? That's just something that
we are. It's the program is the unfortunate acronym of PLOP, Parking Lots Something Program. I don't think we're using that kind of approach to the extent that we could. And part of that is the bureaucratic limitations that I alluded to, and the need to get personnel numbers, and it gets complicated. But that's one of the things we're interested in fixing, so that we can put people back to work in the authority in ways that will be meaningful and useful, and reduce the cost of this program to the authority. And I've been talking with Mr. Woodruff, Mr. Godin, and others about getting that program going.
Well,
we missed the BBC needed to weigh in on the budget, and I thought, well, is that better or worse than the Washington Post weighing in on the BBC, meaning the board's budget committee? British Broadcasting Corporation.
Mr. Tangarini, you know what might be a good way of proceeding on this? This is an action item. Why don't we put this off?
Okay.
And have, particularly as it relates to the $10 million recommendation on the risk reserve fund, let's have a further discussion about this when you feel prepared to come in and give us an analysis. I don't know, that could be in June, it may not be in June, because June is the budget. It may be some other time, but I think pending that, we'll have to pause on this item.
Well, can I come in on that?
Yes, please.
I have no objection to pausing on the $10 million. I do think we need to go forward with the passenger survey, and it's $500,000. I don't know if there is an opportunity to budget that for to offset 2007 or do a budget reprogramming for this current year. But I think that we ought to find a way to go forward with that. The number, the first one.
Let's see, Mr. Zimmerman has
the survey.
If Mrs. Mack is
and the on item B here, I can't comment on that because I'm not clear on what the association is for that amount. We need that. It says to update customer.
So if we move forward on changing the fare structure on holidays.
Yeah.
We need to change the signs to reflect that.
Well, shouldn't that be in the 07 budget? In the,
yeah,
as opposed
that's an errata, Ms. Mack. We should have had it in there.
Yeah, okay,
we're just
fine. So we get rid of that one. And
we don't get rid of it.
we don't make it a part of the delay that we're considering for the $10 million.
I see.
It counts against the fair.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on what action we take.
Fine.
We haven't taken the action yet, so that we can pause on too.
Yeah. Well,
right.
We haven't done
the fare increase. If we don't do the fare increase, we won't meet the sign.
Right, which is associated with the fiscal 07 budget. The fare increase is,
right.
And so this item would also be right. Increase.
We'll move that to part of 07. Yeah. It'll be part of the 07
budget. Yeah, it needs
budget.
To be a part of 07. The action is part of 07, so
yeah.
How could this fall out of that?
Absolutely.
No, we're charging
regular fares.
Regular
fares
on the holiday, yeah. Right. And again, on the passenger survey, let's find a way to get that done.
Well, it seems to me, let me just say, it sounds to me like this committee is willing to consider proceeding with the passenger survey for Metrobus.
Right.
But as to all other items on here, they're either they don't belong here or we're willing to pause.
Exactly.
Is that right?
That's my position.
Is there a motion to that?
I so move.
Right. Yes, that's the budget.
These items are small enough that we're talking about needing to do, but they don't need to be part of this. I mean, I would support your original idea, put the whole thing off, and, you know, tell these guys, find a way to get the survey done, come back to us with that.
Right.
Because my guess is they could probably find, you know, $500,000 or less.
That's my motion.
That wasn't what I heard. What I heard was you were telling them, go ahead with that. As if it would come out of this, which is the way they would hear this.
No. That was not, you understood that wasn't what I meant, right?
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Fine. Okay, I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, please.
My motion is that we delay consideration of the workers' compensation plan, and that this will come back to us with some further information. That's not what I
want
to do.
No, I think what you want to do is, please. I think what you want to do is to move to postpone these actions, and then we'll have a second motion relating to the passenger, the bus, Metro bus passengers.
More specifically,
and asking them to provide us with a reprogramming or a source of funding for the passenger.
There are two separate sides of this. The part you're addressing is the disposition of the surplus. And what you're trying to do is dispose or defer any consideration of the disposition of the $11.7 million or whatever the number is.
Okay,
there.
That's fine.
The actions are entirely separate. And you're going to, in effect, put off most of those, but we're going to, in a second motion, I presume, direct them to do something about the two small items that are there that we seem to have consensus.
And that's exactly what I was suggesting that we do. So I think we would entertain a motion to postpone consideration of the recommended actions on the projected surplus,
Mr. Chairman.
With one exception.
Let me do it this way, and then we will have a separate motion on the specific issues of concern to you, because you don't want, unless you want to handle those issues as part of the surplus.
I'm talking about C, Mr. Chairman. C doesn't belong there in the first place.
I
but
assume
we can
that
acknowledge
has been dropped.
That we take that away, and then we proceed with the rest.
I assume that had been dropped. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there a second to the motion?
What is the motion?
I move what he said.
Mr. Zimmerman has moved to postpone consideration of the staff recommended actions on the projected surplus.
Right.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Deegan.
I don't see a need for the motion. You have a motion saying you're not going to do anything.
This is before us as an action item, Mr. Deegan. Yeah.
So you don't take any action on it. You just move what you want to move.
Nothing's ambiguity. Chairman, if you can do it, remove any ambiguity.
I think it's better that we have a motion. We can dispose of this very quickly, or we can discuss it. You can have your choice.
Have your way.
Okay, so moved and seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Are there further motions on this, on anything relating to this matter? Yes, Mr. Smith.
I would move that the committee direct the general manager to develop a reprogramming strategy in order to cover the cost of the item A, Metro Bus Passenger Survey, and to report back to the committee with a recommendation.
Yes.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No, the ayes. The further discussion on this particular item. Hearing none, we'll now move to discontinue routes 9B, Hunting Towers, Crystal City, etc.
Good morning. We're here seeking approval of the staff report and recommendation to eliminate routes 9B and 10P. Give a little background. The 9P and 10P were implemented to provide direct service from Mount Vernon Avenue and Old Town to Public Yards. Neither route has been successful, and we have determined that it was best to seek elimination of the routes. We went to public hearings at the Charles Houston Rec Center in Alexandria. 11 persons attended the hearing. 3 witnesses testified, received one petition and five emails. In addition, we have coordinated the services with DASH, and they will be implementing two new routes, AT-10, AT-11, to provide service, you know, to cover for the elimination of both the 9B and 10P.
Is there a motion on this matter? It's been moved by Mr. Yule, seconded by Mr. Smith. Discussion? Discussion? Mr. Zimmerman.
A couple of questions. One, the discussion of the hearing and the very important about the information item earlier, I guess it was part of item 2A?
No.
No? Okay, well, in the material I have, it was shown in item 2A.
It was
unclear as to the relationship between all those items and these. These are the subject of hearing along with a number of other changes. And I don't understand kind of what's happened with the other changes and why the hearing report was part of the information item earlier and not associated with this.
Okay, I'm not, I guess they put, when they put the, put it all together, they probably assumed that it was part of the package, but it should have been part of the package.
So what's happening with everything else?
As far as
the on the other, Mr. Hughes spoke earlier on 2A about the fact that the other bus route adjustments.
Did you come up? Anything else that was the subject of hearing? If they're not action items.
No, they're not action items.
Was that explained earlier?
Yes.
Can you give me a short answer?
Yes, I can. We are coming forward with a, gave a briefing on what we heard at the hearing, what we were considering and changing, and that we're bringing it forward at the budget committee in June as part of the overall budget.
So only these are coming forward?
That's correct. They were on a separate path with a different authorization from the board to have a separate set of public hearings. We went forward with the two packages on a parallel path. This one was had its own hearings directly related to this. We went to the committee, authorized the hearing. We were having them. In the meantime, we had a different parallel path for all of the $2.4 million where we were reducing service, where we would reinvest it in terms of overcrowding and operating performance rules.
So even though we had a hearing on both these items, you're saying they were technically two different things?
Technically, we carried
so
it.
So they're on separate tracks. Yeah. Okay. So there'll be opportunities to discuss all of that. Let me just ask one question. Let me note something about the hearing record. First, the Virginia hearing as having had 18 witnesses testified for the record, and the second, it says three witnesses testified for the record of the public meeting. I believe what this actually meant is that 18 had signed in advance and testified, and three showed up to it, had not signed in advance and testified, so a total of 21 had testified. But take a look at that, because I think the hearing record is maybe confusing to anyone looking at it. Who is responsible for figuring out at WMATA where areas are where we need more bus service? And how do they go about figuring out that, you know, service is poor because we have a badly structured route or because we've made the service so infrequent that it's undesirable? And that if we had an extra X dollars, this is the place we would put it next. This would be our highest priority for increasing bus service if we're looking to serve more people. Where does that occur?
In my shop, and I'm trying to run development.
So, and you have like a list of things that say, you know, here's our highest priority, here's our next highest priority. If I had this much more, I'd put more buses on this route, or I'd add a bus route here where we don't have one, or I'd do late night service here, or I'd do off-peak service here, or whatever it is. You got some kind of priority list for those kind of changes?
Yes, as we get data in, you know, data comes in, you know, on a quarterly basis, as we get data in, we determine, you know, what the problem is, and then we, you know, actually lay out a estimate for that, you know, and basically bring it forth to the jurisdictions and say, this is what we see, and, you know, as far as the problem is concerned. Say if it's overcrowding, you know, if it's overcrowding problem, we see that as an overcrowding problem, we go to the jurisdiction and say, you know, we see overcrowding on this route, and this is what it's going to cost.
But I would like to add to that, one of the things I don't think we have done as well, because I don't think organizationally we've been in the mode of service expansion, particularly on bus, is looking at places where there are developing opportunities or possibilities for the need for that kind of service. And that's something I'd like to work on going forward, is asking the question, where do we see changing populations, increases in population? A good example, actually, I met with a series of developers who are interested in developing the area at New York Avenue and Bladensburg Road, with literally millions of square feet of office and residential. What are we doing to potentially serve that area? The National Harbor development, with all the hotels that are going there, what are we doing to at least have a discussion with the jurisdiction of how that area will be served? I think WMATA needs to start looking more forward and asking the question, not necessarily whether we'll serve it, but whether they've thought about how people are going to get to and from, and whether they have transit plans for that.
I think that's very good, and that's one of the things I'd like to see. I'm also thinking about service in areas where we currently have some service. You could draw a line on that. Number one, if it's possible, I'd like to get a list of whatever if your list is voluminous, I don't need to see the whole thing. I'd like to get an idea of kind of what are the top priorities that you all have right now. If you went to your office, what's on the wall there saying, the 10 things I want to do next, where you see the highest potential for increased ridership.
For existing service, the focus has been on reducing load factors beyond, below a factor where you have multiples of the number
of seats. You don't say we need more buses. Okay, so that's the second aspect.
Okay, could we remain on the motion, please? This is a motion regarding two specific routes.
I know, and I need to understand the nature of the decision.
Well, I appreciate that, but if we could remain relevant to the motion on the floor. Is there further discussion on the motion?
I'm sorry, so I may not ask.
Well, if we have two specific routes. It is proposed that we eliminate these routes with certain results. I'd like to maintain the discussion relating to those issues.
But I think it is related to those issues. Thirdly, when you look at a particular route in which you may say the ridership is not high, such as the gentleman said, for the route that is before us and the motion that is to eliminate that route, if you look at such a route, how do you analyze whether this is a route that is not performing well because there just aren't very many people to serve, or many people who are, going to ride bus no matter what you do? How do you distinguish that from, we don't have very many people riding because, over the years we've degraded service, or service has become degraded because of conditions along the route, it's now very slow. Maybe it's just so infrequent that nobody on there will take a bus. How do you distinguish that from what would be possible if you had a higher level of frequency?
I guess the best thing you would do is look at the land use and determine, is the land use indicative of providing the type of density that is required to have a reasonably good bus service.
Okay, but for instance, the routes we're looking at right now in this motion happen to go through some of the denser areas in the region. So the land use is clearly not an obstacle.
Right.
That's a ridership.
You have in that quarter, you have additional, you have a 10A, you have a 9A, you have a dash route. So you have a lot of options in that quarter. So, in essence, they're probably fighting each other for that.
So maybe there's so many options, and the one that's the least advantageous is the one that people aren't going to ride in that quarter. Okay, I remain concerned that we don't really do that kind of analysis very thoroughly in all of this. We tend to look and say, not very many people are riding this, so let's cut it. And sometimes that might be the right choice, and sometimes it may be that we've actually got poor bus service, and by cutting it, we're making it poorer, and we're just spiraling downward and saying, these people don't want to ride the bus. Now, I'm going to support this motion because I know this particular circumstance. And what's interesting to me is that the whole way that the hearing was advertised and the way this has been discussed has not emphasized the fact that there's actually new service going in there. It's mentioned, if you read closely, and I happen to know it. But there's a brand new service that's just been started called the 9S, and there's new dash service going in. And so part of why this is being done is because there is, in fact, new service going in place that the jurisdictions are supporting. But that isn't even there. And to me, it speaks to the way we approach all this, which is not proactively looking to say, how can we get more people riding buses in this region, which I think is a fundamental problem. So I'm going to support this motion, but I think there's a lot we have to look at as we go forward with the rest of the package, especially if this is really to be considered the year of the bus. Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Linda?
I will only close that out by saying that this is the kind of things that we will be discussing with the bus vendor. And the idea of the fact that you have actually had service from DASH and out is also an indication of why we should do more coordination of our services going forward. But this is an opportunity where we can lay out those issues and make some determinations as to why each jurisdiction establishes bus service and upgrade where it should be, where it should be eliminated. So I think that's a part of the bus summit focus.
Further discussion on the motion, Mr. Kaufman?
Just maybe to help us get at Mr. Zerbe's broader concerns when the lead document itself, the electronic action document, you know, you have a series of, there's the elements that was made that have been added over time in response to concerns by the board. Perhaps this is an opportunity to look at what you put into that lead that identifies, you know, is this a long-standing group that is being dropped? Is it something that was added in response to projected demand that just really materialized? You know, what is the nature of this service? Some very brief synopsis, so we know, so not possessed of the wisdom that Mr. Zimmerman brings to the table on this particular route, the rest of us can know whether this is something that maybe we have really worked as thoroughly as we can or replacing with something better, or whether it's just a group that's outlived this time or just what.
There is a motion on that. I just have one question. Why is the, look on page two with me, on the annual impact. Help me understand, I see that the largest impact here is on the city of Alexandria. The second largest impact is on Arlington County. But the District of Columbia is just a nose behind that. Is this explanation obvious to everyone, or why is D.C. just a fraction behind Arlington in terms of the impact?
And without this helping put the answer gets back to our allocation formula for regional bus routes, and this is a regional bus route. Whereas we reduce the overall impact of the regional bus services, the two jurisdictions where it runs gets an impact, and the rest of it also gets spread where the rest of the regional service is. Because there's a lot of regional service in the district, as we reduce the regional budget, it impacts the district next.
But this route does not operate in the district.
No, it doesn't.
It's a regional route that operates only in Alexandria and Arlington.
Yes, but as we spread the regional funding for the regional bus routes across all the jurisdictions, it's done by the formula, so in this case, the district gets a significant impact.
The further discussion? Further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? No. The ayes have it. I just will note that now there's $1.1 million, which has been essentially freed up.
For the survey.
The survey might be an interesting one. Just trying to help Mr. Tangerini in his work. Let's go on to our last item of business is the installation of ITRP learning management application.
Good morning. I'm here to seek approval for the awarding of programmatic awarding contracts necessary to install the PeopleSoft Learning Management System. The Workforce Development Division maintains the centralized training and development infrastructure for the entire WMATA organization. This includes technical training as well as management training. The current system used to support training and to keep training records and to produce reports and to do all other training activities such as scheduling, budgeting, etc., is obsolete. The replacement for such a system was approved as part of the ITRP, however, no funding was approved for it at the time. At that time also, the PeopleSoft manufacturer did not offer a training management solution. Since we began the ITRP, they in fact produced one, has been beta tested and is in use in a number of places, and is fully integratable with our enterprise system. Therefore, our analysis here told us it was preferable to install that one because it is completely integratable with the enterprise-wide system. So we're seeking to do that. We have purchased the system. However, the funds for installing it must come separately since they were not originally approved in the ITRP, although, again, I emphasize the action was approved. And we are seeking to use our operating funds to do so this year and next year for a maximum of $900,000. We emphasize that as the maximum this could cost. We do not fully know the full installation cost yet until we go out to let some of the contracts.
Is there a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved by Mr. Linton.
Second.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Mack. Is there discussion? Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You will take a look, please, at the upcoming agenda for the committee. Are there any questions regarding the upcoming agenda? Hearing none. Is there further business to come before the committee? And this meeting is adjourned at 10:58.